It just so happens that as we start the eighth week in ordinary time, we also start the letter of Peter. You notice we didn't start a gospel. We're in Mark 10. I want to meditate this time around on the first letter of Peter. I'll say a word about the gospel. First letter of Peter was written from Rome, probably by Peter, or someone. Sometimes someone would commission a letter by a very trusted person, and then they'd look it over and change it and then send it. In any event, it comes from Peter, who's in Rome, and he writes to a certain group of people. I regret that they didn't start the letter off with "from Peter," and you see, he's talking about all those, he calls them, they're in the diaspora. And they're all up in Pontus, Galatia, they're up in a certain area, Turkey nowadays. And he writes to them, and he says that they're in exile. Well, the Jews who lived up there were in exile. Either they had been exiled there, or they went and lived there and stayed there. But he means exile in a much deeper sense. We're all in exile, because our home is with God forever. That's our home. So, see, he starts then where he starts, with his blessing of God. And the theme of the letter is going to be, look, as it says in the Philippians, your passport says heaven. See, that's your citizenship. It's not around here. In fact, the way of life around here is very different from the way of life of your home country. The problem is, you've never been to your home country yet. But you have all the instruction and the power to begin to live that way now. And so people are going to think you're nuts. And they're going to persecute you. And the more you leave off that way of life, which characterizes pagan way of life, the more people are going to think you're odd. And you'll also threaten them. So now he starts, though, with this hymn in honor of what God has done for us and who has made us, therefore, not at home here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That must have been a very common way of praying in early Christianity. You find it in Paul's letters. For instance, Ephesians begins the same way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope. You see, we've been born again. And we're in a new world. Now, as things get more and more pagan around us, you can see what he's talking about. Somebody was in New York recently, came back like really, really more than sad. She said, you know, I couldn't believe the way the women were dressed. They're practically stripping themselves in order to attract the attention of the men, but the men are all hanging out with one another. They're all homosexuals. Well, that's what Athens or Alexandria or Rome would have looked like. And so, you see, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has given us a new birth. That's what it means. I remember some years ago, before the anti-Christian bias started so strong, people who were running for office always claimed to be born again. I don't know if they had any idea what it meant, but it was a good way to get votes, so I'm born again, whatever that means. A new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what gives us the new hope. He rose from the dead. Dead is not the last word. Life is. And so he starts talking about this inheritance, this what is waiting for us, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. See, he's got to be reminding us and tugging us away from our fixation with this world, one way or another. Success, money, power, whatever, you know. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and fading, kept in heaven for you, who by the power of God are safeguarded through faith. This is a nice examination of conscience. Do I want to be safeguarded? Or do I want to really have my values, the ones of the world? To a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the final time. Salvation in the Christian dispensation is something we're waiting for. If you're down in town and somebody says, "Are you saved, brother? Are you saved, sister?" You could say, "Well, technically, no. That's heaven. But I've been justified. And Jesus Christ lives in me. But keep it up, brother. Keep preaching down here. They need it. We all need it, you see?" But salvation... We had it the other day, didn't we? Or was I just reading it? In Romans. You know, if you see your hope, it's not hope. So things are better. You know, is this all there is? No. That's the whole point. You are called to live in eternity with this inheritance, this salvation. In this, you rejoice. Provided to think about it. You see, we can get so absorbed in this world that we're like everybody else. You see? When was the last time you really thought about heaven? When was the last time you had a prayer time and just thought about heaven and said to the Lord, "Thank you for this firm invitation to eternal life"? That makes a difference in the way we live. You see? In this you rejoice, although now for a little while, you may have to suffer through various trials, which is going to be the theme of the whole letter. So that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that is perishable, even though tested by fire, may prove to be for the praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What? Your faith. That means you keep your faith pure, you keep the faith, the principle, the driving force of your actions, when you look up. You see? Today the world blows up. That's really a tragedy. But it's not everything. We live by another, I don't know why I think of this, but this girl, I used to help her out. She's doing fine. Kind of a hippie girl. And these people were taking me around to different places out in the West. I think it was in Portland. And she was with me. And she said, "Does this always happen to you, that people just take you from place to place and you give talks?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, that's a good thing, because you live in some other space, man." And I thought of that when I was just reading this now, you see. We're supposed to be different. You see? Now this is the part that makes this prologue. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Isn't that remarkable? You know, do you love Jesus? Yes. Well, what's he look like? I've never seen him. Then how come you love him? Because the Holy Spirit is at work in my heart. And I know him, even though I've never seen him. And I love him, even though I've never seen him. And so now you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of faith, the salvation of your souls. Isn't that beautiful? See, that's the Christian life. Now he's going to say you're going to have to hang on to that when you go through all this stuff he's going to tell us about. But he starts with this proclamation. This is what life is all about, folks. You have divine life in you now. Be faithful to that life. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And let it unfold so that you're mature by the time you die and you go see God.